Fife fans. Welcome back to Scotland's premier Fife-based podcast, Fife Club, where a few friends talk about anything and everything that takes their interest. What's the first rule of Fife Club?
Talk about... What the fuck is that?
Oh, Jamie, put it away.
Yeah. Jesus.
Put my...
It's only tea time, man. Come on.
Sorry. I'll pick this up in a minute.
It's a story.
Yeah, there is. There's a story. But here we are once again. Thanks so much for joining us, if you're an old Fife fan or a new one. We hope you enjoyed last week's excursion to the Quest for Rudis Fight Night at the Fife Ice Arena. We certainly did, and thought it was just a nice wee change up to showcase something going on in Fife and in Kirkcaldy of all places. We didn't actually do anything about the fact we were in Kirkcaldy.
Yeah.
Maybe for the best.
I think because we're shitebags.
Yeah. Bit of Kirkcaldy home team there. Could have ended badly.
Yeah. It's probably not the best place to start.
It's like It's like offering your soul to Satan for something really amazing. Like, you'll get this, but it comes at a price. A high price indeed.
Oh, Kirkcaldy. We ended up backwards on a roundabout in Kirkcaldy. I think that says everything about Kirkcaldy. It's backwards.
They'd be saying the same about us.
We'll fight one day. So we all would like to say a big thanks to everyone that talked to us and for Arena Fight Promotions and Braveheart MMA for having us. If you want us to come along to your event in Fife, then get in contact. How do they do that, Jamie?
They can go to our website on www.fifeclub.co.uk, email us at ken@fifeclub.co.uk, Facebook on facebook.com/fifeclubpod, or at Fife Club, Twitter at Fife Club, or Instagram Fife Club.
Beautiful.
And send us funny things. We have a great person, we have a great listener called Dale, who sends us hilarious things, which we will be reading later. Not today, in a couple of weeks.
Yep.
And we have people who just talk to us and stuff. So please send us whatever you want. If you want to tell us how shout we are, do that too. Yeah.
Yeah. Barry Smith sent us a fascinating story about himself this week, a blog post that he did about a long-lost sister and stepbrothers and stuff. It's a mad story, which I think we'll maybe touch on in a couple of weeks as well.
Yeah.
Once everybody's had a chance to read it, but it was crazy. So thanks very much for sending that in, Barry. Crazy story. It was almost like a Lifetime sort of made for TV movie kind of story.
Yeah. We should start doing like a listener mail section.
Yeah, fan mail.
Yeah.
Or even like an episode every so often.
Yeah.
Fan mail episode. It'll be fun.
You heard it here first, Fife fans. New section.
Yeah. We literally just came up with that there. How organized we are.
How many emails of "you are total cunts" can we get through in an episode? Tune in and find out.
Let's put it this way. We're so desperate for content that if you send us something, then hey, brilliant, do our work for us. Yeah. Not that we're lazy or anything. But yeah, get in contact. As Jamie just gave us all the socials, they're on the website as well. You can even contact us on the website.
Oh, lots of magic of the internet.
Yeah, we have a bottom section of the internet on the website.
Yeah.
Just want it to be like the Daily Mail.
Oh, God.
Oh, dear Lord.
You've got to have an ambition.
Oh, God.
Anyway, on the mics tonight with my good self, Kutch, is a man like a tall, cold glass of water on a hot day. Tasteless and satisfies you for about a minute. It's Jamie.
Hello. That's overly generous.
Dear, I don't know how many times I've shamed you and Mark. Plenty.
I'm more like a hot chocolate on a hot day. You think he's sweet, but really zero satisfaction.
Wow. The taste like chocolate bar. And across from him is a man like a desktop stand fan in a heat wave. He blows a lot of hot air. It's James.
I'm filled with hot air too.
Yeah, we are filled with hot air. That's kind of our MO, isn't it?
Yeah. It's what we do.
And kind of whole of Britain is filled with hot air just now. Holy shit.
Although we're kind of low on actual like carbon dioxide at the moment, apparently.
Yeah.
Wow. Yeah.
Stopping pigs getting slaughtered and stuff.
Yeah. Stopping pigs getting slaughtered. Not enough Heineken to to go for the rest of the World Cup.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah. Shortage of CO2.
So it's amazing because normally CO2 is a bad thing. CO2 bad. And yeah. We have to get rid of all CO2 and reduce it as much as possible. But we've done that a little too well at the moment.
Yeah.
And it's handy application. Apparently it's all the fertilizer. And it's a byproduct of making ammonia for fertilizer.
Yeah.
And all the plants have like gone down because it's peak time is winter.
Yeah. And the problem as well is that like the fertilizer, like, agriculture is massively carbon intensive.
Mm-hmm.
And apart from that, you've got nitrogen. Like, there's a really big problem coming down the line with nitrogen that hardly anyone's talking about.
Yeah.
That could actually decimate our food supply. Wahey! Due to fertilizers getting washed out to sea and everything. And it's really dangerous. So there's like, so fertilizers are bad, but because of that, they don't have the byproduct for the CO2.
It's mental. Yeah. And just like how it's also bringing like a couple of industries to a standstill at the moment in time.
They did just read the other day that they'd come up with a method for, like, it was under $100, maybe $60. How much was it? A ton? No, that's too much. A kilogram or something of sequestering CO2 from the air, taking CO2 from the air.
All right.
The problem with that stuff is that sort of says, oh, we could just keep producing CO2, but that isn't the only problem with it. Yeah, so it's Yeah. But maybe in these situations, it could be helpful.
It could work. Also, it'd be great to have that for your own soda stream.
You just have to talk at your soda stream. Yeah.
Really fast.
How long do we get to the stage, though, where people are going to be like, I know how to make some money. I'm going to make some money out of stupid people. I'm going to put a wee jar with nothing in it and write CO2 and sell it for a fiver a jar.
We're talking about, like, multinational corporations.
Yeah, pretty much.
Are they going to fall for that? Maybe. It depends how desperate they get, I suppose. If only we could, like, bottle up what we produce.
Oh, God.
Plenty of it.
Oh, dear.
Sell it
to Heineken. May make you nauseous. And that's just a podcast.
May cause a chemical imbalance.
That's right. Chemical imbalance. Aye. So, anyway. We've got a wee story, or Jamie's got a wee story for us.
Oh boy, does he?
Yeah.
Yeah, so we might have watched some MMA last week, and you might have listened to that with us, and all the people we interviewed, and how great training is at Braveheart MMA. What happened to you?
Well, so I came back about, this happened on, must have been Tuesday, like a week ago now actually. Okay. But I just came back off a rib injury for about 5 weeks or so. So I've been back for a couple of weeks, and then my wrestling sucks so bad. So I'm happy with my BJJs, happy with my striking is, but my wrestling's terrible. So I went along to wrestling class I hadn't done in months, and just drilling, and it was going fine. I hurt myself actually, my rib, and I was about to sit out because I sat out one round of a technique because I went, oh, my rib's a bit sore, because I'm going to have another go. And the guy's like, you sure? I was like, yeah, I'll be all right. And then
it's always that one final go, isn't it?
Yeah.
And it was like, his last words, as they say.
And it was a single leg takedown, where you basically grab one leg, they can defend that, so then you grab the other leg.
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of like a double leg, but it's from the side. It's more like collecting the leg. Can't remember the exact name for it. So I was doing that. Guy was resisting a bit hard, but it's not his fault at all. And so I turned really quick to get him down and drove sort of off my feet really hard. And I turned my left foot, but my toe kind of didn't. And then my bone was sticking, not just sticking out my toe, like at the side, like my toe was like half ripped off from the sort of knuckle bit of it.
Oh, God.
And we'll put a picture up.
Oh,
pixelated. Only click on it if
you've got a strong stomach.
Yeah.
Oh, really do.
It's...
The thing is, I've heard this story a couple of times now,
yeah.
And it doesn't get easier to hear. It really doesn't. I remember when you first showed the photo.
I was eating my dinner at the time.
Yeah,
I had to go and put that down for about 20 minutes because I could not finish it.
I nearly cried. I was just like, you know when you just kind of do what you do and then you see that, and I just stopped what I was doing and just looked out into the abyss for about 10 minutes. I was like, oh my fucking God. Yeah. I was like, you think the worst. You really do. Like, well, I was like gutted for you.
Well, when I saw it, I thought, it didn't look real. And I was like, what? I think my first thing after, I said, my toe. And looked down at it.
That's my UFC career over.
Yeah. Well, that's the funny thing. After watching fights at weekend, I said to Dave at one point, I was like, do you know what? I quite fancy this actually. I need to get my weight down and train a lot harder, but that's what I was starting to do. So I usually go to like maybe 2 to 3 sessions a week. Mm-hmm. So I was like, right, I'm gonna go Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday this week, maybe Friday as well. So I was starting to do it. I went Monday, I went Tuesday, and then this happened. So I hadn't said to Stevie or anyone yet. I wanted to see how well I cope with the wrestle on that, because it's a massive aspect of it I'm shit at.
Yeah.
So and there's loads of boys wanting to fight as well who are much fitter than me. So. But I didn't even get that far. I just fucked myself badly. So basically, still go do MMA. It's lots of fun. Especially if you want to go to like Braveheart, Mitchell's Industrial Estate. You won't break your toe. It's a total freak accident. And yeah, so I went to the hospital, put me on gas and air. Apparently, the nurse told me people in the waiting room were complaining, saying it was scaring their kids. and it was disgusting or grosser, I think she said. But then we were laughing, like I was laughing a lot about it, because it was pretty funny.
Yeah,
as well. It was like, it looks like my toe was doing a thumb up. I said that on Facebook, and then friend of the podcast, a one-time co-host, the husband of Leisure, Doogie Walker, then photoshopped it over a picture of me doing a thumbs up. So it looks like I'm doing a thumbs up.
Two photos of you doing a thumbs up.
Yeah, two. So it looks like I'm doing it. Well, yeah, we could put that up as well.
Yeah, because they are funny.
But one in the bed's better, I think. Yeah. And
they did make me.
Oh, it was very funny. It was very funny. Very funny. But so then they. What a bunch of cunts in the waiting room.
Yeah, like I can't believe somebody would complain in an A&E about something like that. There could have been worse.
Like, that's the fucking reason you're there. It's like, it's not as if you just went and go, ah! Just to like inconvene them. You're looking for medical help.
Yeah.
What kind of bastard does that? It's like, this guy needs medical attention before me. That's outrageous.
Yeah. So they basically cleaned it a bit, stuck me on gas in there, and put it back on, which was sore, even on the gas and air. Amazingly, if you see the picture, nothing's broken or fractured. Yeah. It's a dislocation, because it's all soft tissue. So, and then I went back in the next day, they put me under, they opened it up again, cleaned it out, put it back together. No nerve damage or anything like that, just my tendons or ligaments regrown, whatever it is. And I'll tell you what though, anesthesia is quite fun. I was in a great mood for about 2 days. I thought it was a glucodamol at first, and it is that a little bit, but it's actually more of a. The anesthesia is like, holy shit, that's trippy. Like, I was having weird dreams and stuff. But
crazy.
It's good.
So, like, when they were doing the actual work on it the next day, were you out cold for that?
Yeah.
So, when you went out, when they put you out, and then you came back, did you feel like you'd been asleep or dreaming, or
I knew that I'd been dreaming. Mm-hmm. I had been dreaming. I just couldn't remember what it was, but just, I knew I'd been dreaming because I remember you know, that feeling when you can't remember dreaming, but you know it was weird as shit.
Yeah,
that's what it was like. Right. And I was like, I've had some weird as fuck dreams.
Just because I know other people who've like been under anesthesia like that, and like their experience, so like experiences that I've heard before are like, you get knocked out, you remember kind of being drowsy, and then that's it, and then you're waking up. There's nothing in between.
Yeah,
there's just, but
it's like, also it's like kind of like that as well, because I can't actually remember the dream.
Yeah,
so it was, it's weird.
And then like you've lost maybe an hour, 2 hours,
I knew one of the anaesthetists actually. She went to DHS, and she's from Pitcorphy as well, and grew up like. Not down the road from me, basically. When they inject me, I bet all of an up to say this. I was like, oh shit, I can feel that in my arm. And I was like, oh, I can feel it in my throat. Like, it was almost like I could taste it in my throat. I don't know, or like there's sensation in my throat.
And so then, maybe just it kicking in and like, I whatever's in your mouth you suddenly taste.
Yeah, it was weird. And then I felt it in my lungs, and it felt like my lungs were like pixelated, like breathing
right,
in.
Okay,
like,
yeah, I get
sort
what you
of
mean,
orange sort or pixelated. And I breathed in, I was like, oh, I could feel it in my lungs. And I was like, just knocked out.
Done.
Yeah.
Amazing.
I bet every twat says that. But it's new for us. They get it every day. And I have to say, oh, big thanks to all the hospital staff. They're just the right mix of professional and great banter as well.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Exactly. Classic NHS.
Yeah.
So, how long, if you don't mind me asking, how long is the recovery process? Do you have to do anything for it, or is it just sit and wait until it heals now?
Nah, there's nothing you can do for it, really. Like, physio came around and was just like, yeah, just walk on your heel. Something cool. And then so I've got a doctor's appointment with the guy who I think did it, a consultant, on Monday, and then stitches coming out on Tuesday. And then
back to wrestling.
well, the A&E guy said 3 weeks, then the consultant said 3 months, and I was like, I'm a fuck missing training for 3 months. Fuck that. I've just come back off 5 weeks. Don't care if it happens again. He was like, it might happen again. I was like, no, but that's the thing. In martial arts, you have to twist your front foot for everything. Even if I change stance, I have to twist your foot.
Because
you have to twist it to punch right, to do hooks. When you're kicking, you have to twist on your toe. It's all, and when you're grappling, you have to use it all the fucking time. So it's annoying.
But
that's my toe story.
Yeah, I think I liked
it's like Toy Story, but more gruesome.
Toy Story.
That sounds like Tolstoy.
But I'm not a Christian anarchist.
Yeah,
I'm just an anarchist.
I like Beatty's response to it, which was, what was it? I had to take the dog out to the back garden and scream in his face.
Yeah, that was hilarious. That made me laugh a lot. Because I was in reply to Erskine, who was like, that fall was a million times worse than I thought it was going to be.
I was speaking to him the next day, and he was just like, he says, that was horrible. He says, although there was the temptation just to flick the little white nub. Just like,
Oh, God, too much for
the belly.
I did think about touching it, but I didn't want to do anything that would destroy it.
Yeah.
No. Big thanks to Stevie and everyone at Braveheart as well and Arena for helping me, give me a lift in his car. When I was in the car, I forgot that it was there because I was trying not to think about it. And every so often you just reflex move your toe, which you don't think about. So I did that and went, that was sore, but.
Oh no! Like, I remember when Dave messaged us initially.
It was that day.
It was definitely that day. And he told us about the toe. And in my head, I just thought your toe would just be like sticking in the wrong direction, like a dislocation, something like that.
I could understand from what I did. I'm trying to think how, but I think I had a cut from mats I was rolling on, which were brand new and a bit sharp at another place.
It's just weakened everything.
I wonder if that's... But I can't remember which side of the toe the cut was on. I think it was on the side that came out, so that would make sense.
So I think that's what made the initial see in the picture more shocking. It was just like thinking, I'll just be a broken bone, I'll be out of the way, I'll be fine.
Yeah, because David said it wasn't safe for work, and again, you're expecting... you're expecting not that, basically.
Exactly. This is next level. I don't know if we've really explained what the picture looks like. I don't think we should. Like, you should see it for yourself, but maybe not up your expectations, but be ready to be surprised.
Yeah.
Because
people have been shown it all around workplaces and everything. It's been an impressive one.
It's been on an MMA Bible Facebook page, because Stevie put up on Facebook or Instagram, and they just ripped it off of there. Or maybe he sent it to him.
Is that Stevie Ray?
Yeah.
Holy shit.
I don't mind if people do that. Honestly, don't mind.
Check this out, lads. Send that to his agent right away. Like, oh, that's amazing.
No, I don't. So I mean, if he did, that's fair enough.
You went viral this week.
I did, while on antibiotics. And Reddit took it down. Like, an auto-moderator on Reddit MMA. I put up with the title, like, not safe for work. You couldn't see it because it was not safe for work. And I was like, I trained... TRANED UFC hard bro. It's just sort of a meme in the MMA world where people who don't know what we're talking about of MMA goes, oh yeah, I train UFC. It's like, happens a lot. It's like, oh yeah, I train UFC. But Aye.
Yeah.
But an auto moderator said, we've had a number of complaints, so it's automatically been taken down. Oh, shit. It's steadily climbing to top of our MMA.
Oh, yeah, bulk. But hey, that's fine.
You know what? Almost forgiven about that. However, there was a prime opportunity to put a Five Club logo on those things. Never done it.
No, I'm sorry.
Drop the ball, man.
No, that's it. We're getting Five Club tattooed to your foot, to your toes.
It will happen again.
That'll be the next t-shirt. It'll be just JB's toe. Imagine. God.
Right. Let's move on. We've been talking about this for too long.
Too long. Oh, dear. Yeah. I'll do a t-shirt of you saying call on it with your thumb. Your toe thumb. So yeah, let's move on. It's kind of moving on with a slight slant to the whole MMA thing. Because, you know, let's keep that going.
Let's keep that vibe.
I believe you might be joining the good people at Braveheart MMA.
Hopefully so.
Yeah. We're plugging them a lot this week.
Some people,
yeah,
I know. Yeah. Some people from Braveheart will be listening to this going, oh, for fuck's sake, not this guy. it was something that I've been quite interested in doing is training MMA, like, or just learning things like jiu-jitsu and striking, just to get fit and things like that, and just to get a bit more of a knowledge of, because I love it, MMA, UFC, Bellator, things like that. Mm-hmm. So I was always kind of interested in maybe giving it a go, but maybe not so... confident to give it a wee go for that year. And then we would go and watch UFC. We all get together for UFC at Jamie's.
Yeah. Yep.
And we watch UFC. And the amount of times that Jamie and Dave talk about training at Braveheart, and I'm like, yeah, oh, I wasn't there. I'm just sitting there watching it. But it's great learning. And like they tell me all the time about what it's like training at Braveheart MMA, the kind of experience that they have, how good it is, how the level, the quality of training that they get, the knowledge that they've gained just from a few months of training there, and that really got me interested. And I was like, oh, I really want to do it. And he said, yeah, come along. And then I'll never have time to go. And it's always like things got the way. But now I'm in this circumstance where the time is right. I've got time to go, so I might give it a wee try. And the other thing that really pushed it over the nose for me was actually listening to last week's podcast, and it was great to listen to. I think that was one of my favorite podcasts that Fife Club have done. Like for me, listening to it anyway. Uh-huh. It was really good, and I really enjoyed listening to all the fighters, listening to their stories, how they approach a fight. Like a lot of these guys, it was the first time for a lot of these guys, wasn't it?
Yeah.
And it was quite
for most of them. For most of the guys from Braveheart, anyway.
Yeah.
For the three or four folk that we spoke to. Yeah. I think it was their first fights.
I've not seen all the fights because Arena are putting up all the fights on their page just now.
Yeah.
And they've been really good fights. Like I've really enjoyed watching some of them, and it's great to see local guys do well. It's quite interesting to see the kind of mindset that they all learn something from each fight. Mm-hmm. And I had a little giggle. A lot of them was like, yeah, I'm envisioning a second round knockout or like a third round knockout. I was like, oh, that's quite interesting. Like, how do you get into that mentality? Like, and again, one of the ones that really inspired me to just be like, right, going to do it now, foot down, let's just not arse about this, was Stephen Hay. Yeah. His story was unbelievable. That was the one that made
I didn't know about that until he started talking to us. And that was... Yeah, that was amazing to hear that he started off.
Like, I don't know the guy. I don't know how fit he was before we done this, but...
Fairly fit, to be honest. No, but not like he's in tremendous shape now.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah, but that's sort of the way he spoke of it. Like, I'm not the most in shape guy, and anyone from Braveheart MMA who's listening to this, you've probably seen me train by the time this came out. You definitely know I'm not as fit a guy as I say I am. But it kind of gave me the impression of, like, you know what? They all spoke about the same thing was... you can go there to train if you want to be a fighter, if you just want to get fit, if you just want to do something different. It was really cool. But Stephen Hayes' story was that he came in, he wasn't the fittest he could have been. He wanted to do something to get himself in better shape. He went in, started training jiu-jitsu, Muay Thai, kickboxing. And as time went on, he started getting more into it. And then eventually, within 6 months, within 6 months of starting training to now?
Roughly, yeah. It was January, wasn't it, that he started? And then...
Yeah. Yeah, he said January. I think he was more around. Well, he'll know better than me.
Yeah,
January. Aye.
So to get from like,
I thought you were saying like November, December, but whatever.
But to get from like very little training experience in combat sports or anything like that to go into fight shape is and incredible.
To do the sick guillotine that he did as well.
Yeah.
Oh my god,
that was good. And he almost got an anaconda as well.
Yeah.
But anaconda was a little. It was a bit. I want to see. Is his fight up yet? Do you know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, is it?
Yeah.
Shit, I'll go watch it then. Yeah.
But it was for me that inspired me a lot. I was like, if, and don't take this the wrong way, it was almost like if he can do it, maybe I can do it too.
Yeah.
And I'm not putting that in a bad way, putting him down or anything like that. I was just I felt very motivated and very like encouraged by what he said. And I thought, you know what, I'm going to give this a go now. And then obviously everyone that you spoke to about MMA, like Braveheart MMA, they all said the same thing. And they maybe not exactly said it word for word, but the impression I got from that was that they wanted people to come. They wanted people to come and just train and get and check out the gym and learn something new and get a bit of experience in training and just see what it's like. I thought
what it's all about.
Yeah.
And that's great that, you know, more people, that's exactly what I was hoping from a show, is that A, will the show get bigger itself as a promotion, but B, it'll help the gym and arena as well, but also but Braveheart MMA as well.
Yeah. So that was it. And then it was when we were sitting at the barbecue that we had in honor of Jamie's
Fife Club ish type barbecue.
And we
cheer up 9.5 toes.
I want to apologize because there's a few times where I was starting to not make any sense that night.
I don't remember that. And I was sober.
Well, I remember, and I think it was a mixture of alcohol and medication.
Yay! Yeah.
It's about like, what? What did I even just say? Even more so, like, I only had 3 drinks.
Uh-huh.
But I felt like I'd had a lot more.
I remember when I was on the Kokodomo.
And then friend of a podcast, Duncan Blythe, said to me, I was like, aye, I'm on the Kokodomo. He's like, aye, just be careful, because you'll be on the Kokodomo for 2 years and then be on the methadone for 5. It's meant to get you off it.
You sounded like a dad there. I was like, I remember when I was on, inverted commas, the Kokodomo.
Aye, but when I was on it with my ribs, year 18 months ago or so, there was a point I got up and I went to make myself a cup of tea and I got a cup out and then I filled the cup with cold water from the kettle with no tea bag in it. Oh, and I stood there looking at it going, there's something wrong. And I couldn't figure out what was wrong.
Yeah.
And then it was like, yeah, I know what's happening now. And then there was just a series of, like, that, 6 weeks that I was taking it? Series of times where it was just like, sit down, just don't move, because you're doing stupid fucking shit.
Yeah.
It's just like blanks in memory and stuff.
I've been easing off on it in the last couple, because of the first few days afterwards, I was like, oh, it's a bit sore, give me all the Kokoda ball. But now I'm like, it's not that bad.
Yeah,
so I'm maybe taking one a day, maybe two if I really need it. And I've noticed I've like gotten better at games. Like, I've been playing a lot of games because I can't do much else.
Yeah.
So I'm watching a lot of TV and I was like, oh, I'm actually better now.
Yeah.
But, like, I was finding this much harder, and now I'm like, oh, this is easy. What was wrong with me?
I remember playing a lot of Xbox over that period, but I played, Sherlock Holmes game on the Xbox?
Hold that thought, because we'll probably come back into that.
Okay. Hold your thought. There was a segue there, I was going to jump on it, but I was going to quickly finish my story before we're there.
Okay.
Anyway, back to the barbecue, we were talking about this. I can't remember how it came up, but I talked about how, like, I really enjoyed the podcast, and was it then? No. I can't remember what it was I talked about. Just something about me like being interested, maybe giving it a go and things like that. And then Dave turned around to me and was like, right, Jamie's out. I was like, what? So I'll tell you what, we do jiu-jitsu on a Wednesday. Why don't you come and check it out? I was like, what, are you serious? He's like, yeah. Then he just told me, like, it's 6:20 on the Wednesday. So, yeah, I'm remembering. I'm not going to forget. I'm shitting myself. After listening to the podcast, I'm not shitting myself as much. But I'm like slightly shitting myself when he turned around. I was like, oh, this is real.
I just want to say for listeners, jiu-jitsu is basically mainly fighting on the ground with no strikes. And so it's like submission holds and joint locks and throws and stuff like that and getting to the ground.
It's your favourite bit of MMA.
Yeah.
It's the jiu-jitsu.
It's probably my favourite bit. Yeah. And it's... I'm still shit, but I used to be really shit, and I'm only a bit of shit.
Yeah. It's like a chess match with your body.
That's it. It's like watching... It's the constant changing, and, like, you can see people having to think through, they're in this hold, they're going to have to get out of that. You know, it's what's the defense, where are you looking to get your hands, your legs, how are you trying to reverse whatever's going on to you. I love it.
It's interesting from seeing it afar. Like, you kind of see it from the top down view of the octagon. You're like, right, so he needs to move his legs across here. Or you kind of have an idea of where they want to go. And then obviously got the commentators telling you what they want to do. But then it's different when you're actually in there trying it. So I'm really excited to do it.
Mm-hmm.
I'm slightly shitting myself. Depending on how well I do in the first couple, I'm going to try and stick at it. Maybe depending on how well I do, I might try and keep a log for the Fife Club site.
That'd be cool.
Just to kind of, because I'm in this whole process of trying to get into fitness and get into shape and get into like
content for the website.
I know. So I'll do that. We've got content, but I want to get into shape and get in better shape. My agents have told me to get into better shape, you know, because actors need to be fit and all that. So that's kind of almost going to be like my accountability is just kind of going to the Fife Club log and tell me how I'm doing shit again, thin again.
good effort, James. I will just say it is simultaneously one of the most soul-crushing and uplifting things I've ever done, jiu-jitsu.
It can't be more soul-crushing than my current job.
Mate, wait until you have... Dave will go easy on you your first day, right?
But wait until Dave's choking you out.
Wait until you have guys just who are like... Just Jeez. Absolutely smashing you and subbing you every 10 seconds. It is absolutely demoralizing. But then next week, you only get subbed every 20 seconds.
It's,
like,
yeah. it's the small steps. But the way Dave put it was
marginal
the best way.
Gains.
Dave put it the best way. It was like, I'll go easy on you, help you out and go away. I'll definitely strangle you though.
Yeah, that's the way, that's what I do. I basically, if I get a newbie, I basically... Well, it depends on how new they are. Uh-huh. Dave, I usually tap them out once so they know what it's like. So they know what to expect. Because it's bullshit if you don't do that. And then I start phoning with them and stuff and let them work and talk them through stuff.
Yeah.
And that's the way to do it. Dave will do that with you. Not sure everyone else at the gym will.
Show no mercy. So if you listen to this in the podcast and you know you've heard my voice, you probably see me now. Please be kind. Please be nice.
You've just put a mark on your head, mate. Like,
let's fucking get this, lad.
If you're not dead, then I'm not going to be happy.
Bastard, that's content of the train.
No, it's cool. And like I say, I mean, I certainly enjoyed it. I mean, I'll never am I interested in doing it, but I like watching it. I am the voyeur.
I think you'd really like jiu-jitsu, Kutch.
Yeah, nah. Yes. Not my bag, baby.
Fair enough.
If I could cycle my way through jiu-jitsu, that'd be great.
Well, it is like a cardio thing.
Yeah.
There's like more strength, but it is mainly...
I'd prefer to be on a bike and not underneath somebody twice my weight.
Could you imagine if someone worked that out, though? Do like a weird Tour de France version of jiu-jitsu. Like you're just cycling up a mountain while like, equally like trying to armbar someone on another bike.
Is that not what road rash
I was just about to say? Which segues nicely.
Yes!
Yeah. Into video games.
Yeah.
Games.
Yeah, road rash.
Games.
There's a new version. There's like a...
Yeah,
we're redoing Road Rash, aren't they?
Which, I don't know.
Has it have that black day? Bike that was like the speed... Yeah. Demon 2000 or something.
You can drive it at all.
Yeah, yeah, it was impossible. Yeah,
you just like crashed into everything. But is that a game that will translate well?
I think it really could. I think if they keep it arcadey,
yeah,
but make it more like so that when you're fighting people, it's more like a battle sort of thing rather than just you going along. Like it could zoom in, because and then your controls change, and you hit them with chains and stuff. Because the original Road Rash was great. But I think it could... Basically, you want people who worked on, like, a Burnout or something to be making it.
Yeah.
That'd be great. Who understand that games should be about fun not just realism.
Yeah. Because, I mean, it was essentially Street Fighter on bikes, which was, you know, a mental idea for anything. But that's 90s video games for you.
So good.
I remember reading a book about it. There was a short story in a magazine, Sega Power magazine. Short novel, like about 50 pages, 60 pages. But it was fucking amazing. Yeah, it was basically Fast and Furious.
Such a good game. Basically, I've been playing a lot of games because we get to fuck all this and watching a lot of TV and stuff.
Yeah.
And so I've just got round to two games I've had my own for a while. Thanks so much to my mum and her boyfriend for gifting me them because they were like, oh, you can't do fuck all here. Have a couple of games. which was Cuphead, which is absolutely gorgeous and plays brilliant. Like, it's just... I had my eye on that for when it first got announced, like E3 or whatever. Mm-hmm. I was like, years ago.
Like 6 years ago.
Yeah, I was like...
It was only last year that it came out, wasn't it?
Because it's all hand-drawn cell animation in a sort of 20s style.
Yeah, it's kind of... It's almost like original Mickey Mouse type.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it's It's great. It's absolute. I'm glad we waited. It's so good. I basically completed the first world on it, and I've started playing other games. But it's like, so you have this character called Cuphead.
Mm-hmm.
Two player is a guy called Mugman. They basically have done a deal with the devil where they were playing craps, and the devil bet them their souls. They lose, so you have to go around collecting everybody else's soul. Mm-hmm. For the devil. But the idea is at the end you'll fight the devil, and I'm guessing you'll free these people as well. Blah blah blah. But what's the gameplay? It's great. It looks brilliant. The music is fantastic. It's like sort of jazz from that area. Yeah. Sort of, you know, stuff you find in animation at that time. Mm. And what they've done is, so it's the opposite of what I thought it'd be. So you've got a wee map, like a lot of games, like say, I don't know, Zelda or something.
Uh-huh.
And you go around different bits, but most of them are boss battles.
Right.
So there's like, on the first island, there's maybe two stages, which are called running guns.
Uh-huh.
And they're actually really tricky. Like, they're not like a normal stage. They're hard as fuck. The whole game's really brick.
Because like, my interpretation of what it was kind of like what these massive, like, 2D scroll shooters.
No.
No?
So it is and it isn't. So there's things that they call running gun.
Yeah.
They're usually too intricate just to run and gun, because the stuff, you have to be so precise with stuff. Mm-hmm. But most of it's boss, but so that's like, say there's like 8 stages,
yeah,
or so on the first level, 6 of them are boss battles and 2 of them are those run and gun things. I can't remember where they actually are. But you get potions and stuff to give you different abilities. Cool. But they're really hard. It's really hard.
Mm-hmm.
You can do it on an easier level, but that doesn't give you the debt contract thing. You have to do it on the regular level to do that. And it's just, it's tough, but it's not one of these games which is so hard it's annoying.
Mm-hmm.
It's hard in a good way. Like, you don't mind playing it. You die again and again and again, but you don't mind, keep trying, because it's so much fun.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just, it's a fantastic game. I don't have enough good things to say about it, honestly.
It's one that like, absolutely intrigued me, but I think it is an Xbox exclusive, isn't it?
Yeah.
I think Microsoft ended up either buying the company or plowing tons of money into it.
Yeah.
You can only get it on Xbox and Steam, as far as I know, yeah.
Is it Steam as
well,
right?
I think
you can
get it on Steam.
It's one of those games which I think...
Microsoft Store, probably, as well.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I've got my Xbox, but I just haven't really played much on it in a long time.
Mm.
Just because it's...
Do you know, it'd be perfect for the Switch as well?
Yeah, well, that's what I'm thinking. Yeah. It's the kind of game that would be amazing to see on the Switch, and could probably play it as well. It's amazing what that Wii machine's actually punting out at the moment. But yeah, that does sound like it's pretty damn good.
It's kind of like, it's like some of the best platformer. You know, it reminds me of a lot, but it's better than, is remember Mickey Mouse's Castle of Magic?
Castle of Illusion.
Castle of Illusion, which is one of the best platformers ever.
Yeah, that's a great game.
It reminds me of that in a lot of ways, like in the sort of love that's gone into it, but it's brick hard. It's so much harder than that. It's kind of like, in that way, it's kind of like Super Meat Boy.
Oh, right, okay. Yeah.
Which was another sort of love letter to games, you know.
Games, yeah.
Super Meat Boy Forever is coming out. It only showed up for a second during Microsoft E3. It was like, Super Meat Boy Forever. I was like, they're doing another one. Sweet. Nice. Didn't know that. So I'll look forward to that.
Yeah, cool. Yeah.
But anyway.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I've been playing, like I say, mostly on my Switch recently, but... couple of free games. They announced Fallout Shelter, which is an old game now, an old mobile game, which I remember playing a good chunk of on my mobile and then forgetting about it. And then they released it on Switch, and it's kind of perfect because it's like a micromanagement style game.
Right.
So it's, you know, like Fallout, you emerge from a shelter, This is the idea that you're building the shelter, so things have gone to tits and you've got this new shelter vault, and you have to build generators and lounges and, you know, just stuff, and then you've got dwellers coming in, and then you've got to make them have kids as well, and then so grow the population and
spread into Cloverfield Lane territory.
Kind of territory, yeah. And you dig deeper and, you know, build more stuff. And you know what? It's fun and it's great, but the problem with a lot of these micromanagement games is there's no end to them.
Yeah.
So I get to a point And then I'm like, why am I playing this?
Yeah.
Because there's no, there's nothing, no goal, no, no end point in it. Like, I used to love things like the SimCity games on PC, like the old school, not any of the mobile incarnations, because again, they're very much so like, you just keep building, Where on the PC, you would kind of get to a point, you could run through a sim of the city, build it up and it die, you know, within maybe a week or something like that. And that was kind of always fine. But yeah, like I say, I played it for about 4 days straight and like quite intensively as well. But again, things happen in real time. So there's a lot of, you're waiting about. It's about bringing you back into it. But it does bring you back into it. But then what you find is that you'll go back in and do a couple of bits, and then 40 minutes later, you've kind of not really done much more because you've been sat about waiting. Which, like, it just, it got too much, and I kind of got bored of it. And as I say, the realization that there was no real goal to it meant that I ended up coming out of it.
Well, it's like my toe made me miss some skins in the Overwatch... joking there somewhere.
Yeah.
In the Overwatch anniversary thing. I'd had my own for ages, and I was a bit pissed off. But now I'm playing new games, so I don't mind.
Were they only available for a certain period? But
yeah. Destiny 2 have been playing as well. I'll just very quickly say, I didn't like it for the first wee bit, because it's trying to be too serious.
Too serious, huh?
But it's actually, it's like they fixed most of the problems from the first one. And it's better. And it's it's more fun.
Funny, because the reviews I've heard of it just say that they've really not learned very much from the first one.
Well, they've not. Well, it's
still
not,
like,
here's the thing.
Was it three people firefights?
Yeah, but I've just been doing stuff by myself.
Yeah.
And it's fine. But it's like, it's very similar to the first one, but it's more fun than the first one. Like, the missions don't feel like the absolute grind that they used to. So, yeah, I've enjoyed it a lot.
I enjoyed the first one.
Oh, and it has a fucking story as well, unlike the first one.
First one, right.
You're just kind of mindlessly going through quests and grinding that. I have been kind of going through more of my retro games.
All right.
I got back into, not that long ago, I got back into my old PS2 and started tracking down games and started playing through that again.
On your PS2?
Yeah.
Not backwards compatibility or anything?
Nah, I was one of the unfortunate souls that got a PS3 with, like, none. It was, like, just after the cut-off of...
One of the first ones.
Yeah. I was just like, nah. And PS4, I don't want to, like, download games. I don't mind having the games on my PS4 hard drive if I can get them, but I think there's something about actually having it on a desk.
Yeah.
You know, on the PS2. And I actually went out of my way to buy another PS2 because I couldn't find an old one, and then bought a shitload of games as well. Thank you, CEX. And there was like one time I ordered like a bunch of games and they gave me an extra one for free, but they didn't even know about that until now, so it's all good. But I've just quite enjoyed that. And then I went back, and quite funny, you talked about like micromanagement games. I went onto GOG and downloaded Dungeon Keeper 2. Like, this is ages ago, but I love that game. That is one of my favourite games from like when I was younger. And people might think you're daft, but like, it's that whole micromanagement with the idea of like, it's like building your fort, building your army to attack another team's fort and army underground, and you're one of Satan's legions, and it's really cool. It's just a really good game to play. It used to have online.
It's sort of more real time strategy, isn't it? Than micromanagement. Although those kind of do cross
those
over.
Aspects
come
in, but it's as you say, it is that sort of game where you have to try and build that up. And it's like a Warcraft sort of game, but I find it a little bit more fun than Warcraft, like the original War. I do enjoy the original Warcraft series 1-3. But it's that there's something about Dungeon Keeper, just the environment, and then the ability to like build your own lairs and dungeons. Like, I used to play the My Pet Dungeon so much when I was younger. It's like you're actually making your own dungeon and putting it together and making small, like finding small bits to build more and building it up. And then recently,
why you're known as the Joseph Fritzl of the podcast.
But it's been quite good to like discover the map editors now, so you can make your own map and build that. And I think you can get them online as well, so you can play other people's maps. And some of the stuff you can get on it is ridiculous, and it's really fun. Being able to do that's opened up a new way of playing for me, rather than just going through the story and going through that. Like having it's great. It's been this. It's like the old style game with like the modern age competitive map editor and a level editor that all gets thrown in, and just you can play other people's
levels.
It's kind
of cool going back to old games and finding that there's still like huge communities making stuff for them as well. I mean, I think
it's so much easier to do now as well to make mods of things than it was like when these games first came out. It was a total like you'd have to be pretty good to make a mod, whereas now. Almost anyone who has the drive and interest can get into modern.
Also the fact that like loads of folk over time make modern tools which are make it even easier. I mean, I think you've got games like Roller Coaster Tycoon. Those were and they still have massive communities.
I loved that game.
Yeah,
that and Transport Tycoon.
Transport Tycoon.
Oh, yeah, Transport Tycoon was banging.
And again, that's that sort of micromanagement.
Yeah,
real time strategy kind of stuff.
Well, what I'm weird is that I only like it in certain contexts.
Yeah,
like which is why I never play. I haven't played Champ Manager in like over a decade, and I won't because it will just suck my life away.
Yeah, Champ Manager is a game which I remember losing, like, about 6 months to when I was about pot 19, and decided that that was enough of that. And I mean, Mark Penman, he's a big Champ Man fan. He buys like almost every edition and we'll sit and play it over and over and over.
Someone made an... I can't remember if it was a mod or if it was like a game, but someone made like an MMA manager game.
Oh!
Where you were like a promotion, and I had a quick look at it and I went, right, it doesn't look that good, but I'm not even going to play. I downloaded it and I deleted it because I was like, I can't...
It's like the temptation.
Yeah, the temptation's too much. It's like Elder Scrolls. I only played a wee bit of Skyrim because the Elder Scrolls game before that...
Mm-hmm.
I lost shitloads of time too. I was doing nothing, just running around in fucking the hills and fields and shit.
Yeah. It's those games like Fallout and Skyrim, I go into them and I enjoy them, but then the scope of them just scares me. Like,
I also
so big.
With them,
an autistic child.
I start to find them more boring and more of a grind, whereas I'm not feeling that with Destiny 2.
Mm-hmm.
And I've almost completed the story. I've been going off and doing some side missions, but I've got tons of side missions and challenges. And the side missions and that, I'm actually enjoying. Whereas before, I'd be like, oh, it's so boring. I'm just having to do this to get to the next bit.
Yeah.
But it's actually really fun.
Mm. See, like, one of the best games I've played in a long time is Zelda Breath of the Wild on a Switch. And I've actually still to finish it. I've kind of stopped playing it because I don't want to finish it.
That's what I'm getting like with Destiny.
And I'm now really, like, I've only got one bit to do now, and it's sort of like, I don't want to do it because it means it's finished.
Well, I've been feeling that with Destiny. I think I've only got a few more missions at most, maybe one or two. And but then just as that happened, they were like, they've opened up like, only, I've still got all the challenges to do, and then I've got public events, but they've opened up like, I've got three different other things.
Yeah.
I could like challenges, something else. Mm. And something else. So I'm like, oh, cool. So I've got all that as well. Yeah. So it's cool. So I can finish the story now.
See, what is the thing that I quite liked about Breath of the Wild is that it wasn't as... It is very... It's got those elements of like RPG-type games. It's very much so an RPG game. But it's got a definite end after like maybe, 100 hours of play or something like that, rather than 400 like Skyrim, you know, where you could just keep playing and playing. Again, it's that idea of no end. Although these games do have an end, they're just so far off. I just don't have the time to sink into that.
See, that's why I get bored of them.
Whereas Breath of the Wild, it's perfect, a perfect length. That I do wish it was a bit longer, but you know, it's really good, really fun. Enjoyed it. There's like lots of little crafting things going on and. You know, the respawn, your enemies respawn every month in the game or something like that as well. So there's never an area that's bland or anything like that. But yeah, it's been a good game. I've thoroughly enjoyed that. You know, the other one that I've been delving into since E3 was Fortnite.
Oh, I've only played that like twice, I think, because I was like, what the fuck? And first time I died almost, second one I did all right, and then but since then I haven't gone back in because I was waiting for someone else to get it or someone to team up with other people who I know.
So it's, I mean, for anybody that doesn't know, and if you don't I'll be surprised, but Fortnite is one of these massive battle royale shooters where it's like 100 people in a map, online thing, and yeah, it's a bit mad. You've got to, you basically start with on an island, you drop down on the island, you get to choose, it's this huge area, and then you have the storm that comes in round the island, and it slowly gets smaller and smaller, and you've got certain times to sort of like escape the storm and get into the new sort of eye of the storm. And basically what that's doing is it's making the map smaller and smaller and smaller, so that way there's the population condenses and you're forced to fight. But the other thing that it does is that you've got to collect resources like wood and metal and
that you can build massive shit out of.
Then you can build things out of to build fortresses and defenses, and that's the bit that's mental. When you're watching, like, if like I quite often die pretty quick, but then when you're watching, like, as people die, you watch somebody else, and you slowly, I think, watch the person that killed you. It's stupid how fast they're building stuff, and accurately as well. I mean, I've tried that, and it's just like stuff everywhere, stuff everywhere, and I'm dead. Great.
Like, want to build a ramp, but you build a house, and you're like, what the fuck? Like, you got it's hard work.
Yeah, it's like if you suddenly have somebody like firing upon you, you can build like a wall round about you, and then a ramp and run up the ramp, so they're firing, try to break down the wall, and you run up the ramp and shoot them from above. You know, it's that kind of stuff.
Do you know what I was just thinking, just before we stopped talking about games very quickly, today, do you know what I'd love? I was playing Destiny, I was like, do you know what, there's bits of this which are really fun, like sort of how I'd imagine No Man's Sky should have been, but like, obviously it's more of a story-driven game, but I can't wait until, it depends on how good AI gets probably, but we could get like procedurally generated narratives.
Oh wow, yeah.
So you could have like elements of narrative, and then a machine learning tool just procedurally generates new things. So you could have a mixture of like something like Destiny but with No Man's Sky.
Yeah.
And it's just wherever you go, it's created a new story,
a new hook. I'd love to see.
And with the stuff with voice
now, because I think
they couldn't do it just now.
No, but I think it would be amazingly horrendous. Hilariously horrendous.
I honestly think a game like that is maybe 10 years away. Like, because the stuff they've been doing with like Google, you know, with deep fakes and with Google Assistant with the voice and everything, that's your voice work done. You don't even need voice work. You could just make it text-based, but that's your voice work done.
Yeah, because the whole Google Assistant, let Google do it?
Yeah.
That's mental.
And then if you can procedurally generate a world, you could procedurally generate bad guys and how they fight and stuff and different tactics.
Yeah.
And yeah, you could have like certain places which are core planets, which are like story missions. Mm-hmm. Then you could have everywhere else, which is like a galaxy of new stories, which are just constantly created.
That'd be kind of cool. It's like it's like taking the sort of No Man's Sky, the Spore No Man's Sky kind of these ideas of taking that next step. But then that is literally having a game that would never end.
Yeah,
but with story points.
Yeah,
plot points.
Exactly. Oh, that's my
I suppose it takes away the work for DLC though.
Yeah, although.
But I suppose you could do it as a.
But then, is that a good thing or a bad thing?
But it's a different model because, like, Overwatch has done stupidly well with zero DLC.
See, true.
So it's just a different model. You could have loot boxes to.
But then
for a financial thing to replace DLC.
But then, depending on the kind of game you make, you could make a subscription service to the game.
Yeah.
And you could pay.
I mean, you could do it. Yeah, more like Warcraft or something. You could do it. Yeah.
That works as well. It's like something like Fortnite where, like, I'm sort of like, I don't fully understand how it works because it's free. But then it's not huge. It's not a huge game.
Yeah.
Like in terms of what it is. It's the same map. It's the same mechanics to it. So I think in terms of its development, it's probably not
relatively easy.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not
because it's not like
I'm not
the animation
for anybody.
No, but it's not like the animations are amazing in it or anything.
And then it's like loot boxes, but it's there's nothing that's actually going to improve you. It's all cosmetic.
Yeah, which is the Overwatch model as well. Although it's still in beta, isn't it? technically.
Yeah.
Well, from what I heard is they're not really making any effort to actually make the game anymore. They're just going to stick with the Battle Royale because it makes so much money on a daily basis.
That's, you may
as well just let this ride for as long as you can.
And put your money into making Fortnite 2, like a few years down the line,
It's maybe I'm too old and too Scottish, but it's sort of that idea of like, well, you've given it to me for free and everything's cosmetic, so why am I going to buy anything?
Yeah, I'm the same. Exactly. I'm exactly the same.
I'll just rinse this for all it's worth. Yeah.
You can earn things as well by like playing.
Well, that's it, yeah. If you keep playing, yeah, you'll slowly get stuff. It's mad.
Well, I'm calling this.
can I bring this full circle in a sense? Uh-huh. You know what would be really great to have all these things in a Battle Royale mode?
What's that?
A remastered Road Rash.
That's what's happening.
We were saying that at the beginning. Wait, have I just totally missed that whole point of the whole conversation?
You logged out, obviously.
Oh,
that was a whole link into this.
Well.
It's a remake in Road Rash.
So, that went down the tubes, didn't it? sorry, everybody.
So TV guys, yeah.
Oh, James.
What do you play games on a console?
A TV.
Or a monitor. But whatever. Been watching TV as well.
Or on a board.
Yeah. What have you been watching, Wade?
Mainly, Westworld's just finished. Mm-hmm. Season 2 was very good. I enjoyed it a lot.
Still haven't seen 1 and 2, but want to. Really want to.
Good. This is ones. Season 2.
Yeah.
All right. And it's, they focused in on some characters. Like, they did one with one of First Nations, Native American guy, and it was amazing. And they did one with one of the owners, and it was great. And, yeah, so it's really good. It wasn't quite what I was expecting.
Mm-hmm.
I think they were putting a lot of false traps because the first series was so complicated.
Mm-hmm.
I think they were putting more false traps. You thought stuff that was happening in the first series was going on, but maybe it wasn't.
Uh-huh.
Maybe it will be. Maybe we'll find out next season it was. But it was very good. Enjoyed it. Rachel Evan Wood's character, whose name I've forgotten, I want to say Dorothy, but that's not right.
Dolores,
thank you. God, you didn't even watch it. And her character, I hated her most of the way through it.
Mm-hmm.
I just felt like it felt weird, her characterization. Like, I've liked her a lot more over the last couple of weeks, and it makes more sense now. So, yeah, great performances all around. Billions, been watching.
See, that's just one that finished. I've not seen, but a lot of people talking about it. Like, the adverts have never made me jump to it, but tons of folks are...
I thought that, right?
Yeah.
But then, I was just sitting in the house one night, and I was like, I need something to watch, and I was like, oh, just box it, I'll see what it's Billions is like. Really fucking good. Really good. There's a couple of dud episodes, but it's basically a pitch meeting where we'll be like, hi guys, what we're going to... It's Sorkin as well. Is behind. It? He's not writing, but he's like an exec producer. And there's a few other people who are really good producing it.
That one of the things somebody did say was it's a bit West Wingy, and I was like...
Oh. Yeah, a bit. So basically, the thing is, like, it'll be like, hey, guys, what we're going to do is mix The Wolf of Wall Street with bits of The Wire and bits of, like, West Wing.
All right, okay.
But it's more like... So it's sort of like... Basically, the setup is you've got a billionaire.
Mm-hmm.
He does a lot of insider trading, but he's like a folk hero. And then you've got a guy who's a public defender. But it's sort of like The Wire in that they both do bad things.
Right, okay.
It's not as virtuous as The West Wing. Yeah. It's like, we both do shite things to get the job done.
Right.
But it's excellent. It's really well written, mostly. And the last thing I was watching was... Oh my god, what was it?
Television show.
Edit that bit out. Can't remember. I did have another show that I've been... Luke Cage just started. I've only watched the first couple episodes. But first episode, I wasn't so sure at first. Ended all right. Second episode was much better.
Haven't Third watched one's it okay. yet. We're saving it for a while. We're away. We're going to sit and watch that.
I totally dropped off the Netflix Marvel Universe for a while.
Mm-hmm.
I think I dropped off just before The Defenders.
All right.
You're lucky. That was shite.
I know. I need to go back into it. I think I was almost at a point of like when Daredevil finished, I was almost excited for it. And then I saw the trailers and then obviously... Iron Fist came out and I was like, I'm not so confident about this now.
Mm.
So I might go back and watch it at some point, but I think that kind of gave me the fear. watch the Iron Fist and then the Defender stuff. So.
My Amazon ran out as well, and they upped the price as well. So I was like, no.
Well, they've got,
Well,
I was going to say, they got the Premier League as part of their package now. For the,
like 8 games.
Like, yeah, 10 games or 8 games or something. Yeah.
Still, but that's still for them, that's still going to be like, well, we've got some live football, so you know, let's jack up the price, even if it is 10 games.
They were a serious contender for the UFC in the States as well, and they're showing, they're going to be selling UFC pay-per-views.
Really?
Yeah. Yep.
Holy shit.
That's already started.
That's
already started.
Their whole like add-on service, isn't it? Like, so it's like adding.
It comes up as like So like when you use it, it's constant. Yeah. Unlike Netflix, obviously, it's like, hey, these are films included with Prime.
Yeah.
Or buy these as like pay-per-views.
Yeah.
Or buy them to keep. But
and then you can add like actual TV packages as well.
Yeah.
From different content suppliers.
So I'm like halfway through the series of Into the Badlands, which I absolutely love because it's so stupid and silly. It's amazing. But my Amazon finished. Like, I couldn't afford to redo it just now.
Yeah.
And they've also just done the third series of Preacher. Preacher is a lot of fun as well.
Although that's it's Lucifer that's moving to Netflix.
Yes.
Preacher. See, Preacher's another one actually that I haven't caught any of yet. It looks brilliant. Good.
It gets better in the second season. It's very different in the second season. Mm-hmm.
Is that the one that's based off the graphic novel made by the same guy that did the Walking Dead?
Oh, the same guy?
Was it someone else?
No, I think it was the same guy.
What's his name who did Preacher? I know. Anyway, that'll come to us.
Aye.
But they've also got, I think what I'll do is I'll wait until they've got the Lord of the Rings series and the Culture series.
Because 2020, isn't it?
Yeah, and they've got the rights. 2020. Got the rights to the Culture series as well.
Which will be interesting to see what they do with that.
Yeah. Well, apparently they're just doing the first book first.
Yeah.
So I'll wait until. Yeah. Do you still have my copy of that, by the way?
No, it's my copy.
Oh, is it?
Yeah.
Fuck, I've given it out to someone. I don't know who.
I bought it when I was in London last.
Oh, did you?
Yeah.
I've given it out to someone. I assumed it was you.
No. Nope.
Bollocks. I'll wait to reread it. Since I can't do fuck all right now. But so I'll come back when those two shows are on and then watch everything all at once.
Yeah, fair enough.
Fuck if it takes 2 years.
Try and complete Amazon once you've completed
Netflix. Yeah. Well, I've almost completed the internet. I'm pretty close. Pretty close.
It's almost like a game in itself.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, I mean, I've been watching, not a lot, a bit of Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. That's been good. Have you been watching it?
Yeah. So, first half of the series.
First half
was guff.
It was
guff.
There's bits of it I liked, and then bits of it felt like it was going on too long.
Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. has progressively gotten better, and it feels like we've had a budget cut. The word is apparently that the studio heads at ABC?
Yeah.
Want to cancel it. The studio ABC wants to cancel it so hard. But Disney won't let them.
Yeah.
Disney's like, no, we need to keep it running. Even though the Inhumans thing flopped and they're not going to do anything with it anymore, they're like, no, you still have to do it. And it's been getting progressively. Season one was a bit meh, and it gets progressively better. And then I felt that until this season when I was like, this is as bad, if not worse, than season one.
The start to it, the first couple of episodes, I thought, oh, this is going to be quite interesting. But then
that's what I thought.
And it was dark. Constantly dark that you couldn't see shit. Like, that really fucked me off. However, it started picking up towards the end.
It's gotten better, but it's still not.
We've started tying in lots of things from old episodes and stuff, and I've quite enjoyed that.
It has gotten better, but the best part of the first one is when you see Fitz back on Earth.
Yeah.
And even that feels like they had a massive budget cut. Some of the effects in that are shite.
Yeah.
I also love all the episodes where they go to England.
Yeah. It's like in Stargate when they went to Glastonbury.
Yeah. And they go to England and it looks like a part of fucking California or Nevada or some shit. It's hilarious. But yeah.
That's classic TV traveling, isn't it?
Yeah. Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. is fun. I would have suggested it as a fun thing to watch up until anybody, but I feel I can't do that now because I feel the series has been a massive drop off.
I still enjoy it. It's Marvel, you know. Feed me that shit.
Yeah.
But also,
oh yeah,
been watching Handmaid's Tale.
Yeah, Oh,
is it good? So good. It's so, so, so destroying.
Yeah, absolutely harrowing. Have you ever seen The Road,
yes.
The film?
Yeah.
It's like that every week.
Yeah.
Just absolutely harrowing. You're just like, oh my God.
I've not watched the TV series that has left me feeling like the way that fuels me and like constantly thinking about it.
Yeah. I want to say, spoilers, uh-huh. listeners, but 2 episodes ago,
uh-huh.
spoilers, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. The eye, who's the driver, to try and get him away from... he gets a wife. You're like, so it's like a forced marriage. They just bring the wives out during like a promotion ceremony.
Yeah.
They just, and then you're like, oh, this is bad enough. It's forced marriage. And they bring up the veil and the wife's like 14,
15.
Yeah, something like that. Like, you're like, oh, Jesus Christ. I thought it couldn't get any worse. It's so horrible. It was just. And every week for something like that.
Yeah, something
which is just weird. Like, oh, but the quality of the writing and the acting and the directing, just everything's
spot on, isn't it?
And what makes it worth watching.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It is really proper thought provoking TV of this dystopian future.
Yeah.
But it's good. But the thing that I read just not that long ago, before the podcast started, was an article saying that the head of Hulu said that basically he's looking at it as a 10-season show.
That's insane.
And I'm just sort of thinking,
not a lot of shows can do that nowadays.
Not a lot of shows of that caliber. I mean that by it's really good. I don't want it to get bad.
Yeah,
and I think it will. 5 seasons, maybe.
Yeah, what's it on? Is a second?
The second, it's commissioned for a third.
Five,
I reckon if it does well in the third, they'll probably do a fourth and fifth.
I think somewhere between 3 to 5 seasons.
Yeah,
anywhere in that range is a perfect number.
Yeah,
any more, you're playing with fire.
Yeah,
even within the 3 to 5, there could well be drop-offs.
Yeah,
but any more, it seems impossible to keep it going, and without completely changing the show.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
And like it's also like you have to stop with the flashbacks, and the flashbacks are a big part of the show.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. That's
you can't
point.
Keep that up for 10 seasons because people get older.
Yeah.
Noticeably so, I think. And I think it's a format of show that's difficult. It's like how many shows have survived like that? I mean, I was thinking like Prison Break. There's one which was like, the whole premise of that series was the first series.
Yeah.
And then that was it. Once you got out, it was like, there what?
First series was fantastic.
It was amazing. The second series, not so bad. There was
just wasn't as good.
Yeah. Of ridiculousness when he was still looking at his tattoo. And it's like, how could you have had any plans?
It's like that? Heroes and The Walking Dead.
Yeah. Oh.
First series, amazing.
Heroes hurts the most.
Oh, so bad.
I know.
Yeah.
But Heroes, I still watched the new stuff before. I don't finish it, but I watched it because I feel like I want to know what the new mythology is.
Yeah.
You know, because I feel like I want to know more about it, even though it's so
badly. And I
had
the tiniest sliver of hope. It was like, come on, be good.
So
please
shit.
Be good.
That whole VR thing in the new series was so awful.
I never saw it at all. I never saw the end of Heroes. I think season 4 just completely passed me by.
Do you know what? I did watch it, and I did finish it. I just can't remember how it ended, because I didn't give a fuck. Yeah, I just don't care, man.
I'll do this one. Okay, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. The cheerleader jumped off a Ferris wheel.
Face planted
in front of everyone. And then it was like, this is a terror number, blah, blah, blah. Because she tried her whole story was like, she tried different ways of how to kill herself, but then obviously can't die. So she was like showing us all. So she done one off the Ferris wheel and just outed herself as having powers. And
No, the new season of Heroes.
I've not watched the new season of Heroes.
Yeah. Oh, it's awful.
I didn't even try. Yeah. But I thought you were talking about the last incarnation of Heroes.
No, I've seen that.
It was so annoying because it was like really good, then not great, not that great. It was kind of shit for a lot of it. And then the end had an absolutely incredible ending, and then they did nothing with it. It got cancelled. It was like, bastards, the lot of them.
It just, like, season 3 just started fizzling out. It just felt like there was a lot of filler, and
they really
just nothing very good.
They also got hit by the writer's strike in season 2, so they had literally... actors writing scenes on sets, yeah, like deciding what to do next, which is why it made no sense.
And season two is effectively cut in half as well because of it. Yeah. It's like you can't fill a hole. You can't just go from doing 24 episode stories
down to like, what was it, 13 or something like that?
Yeah, down to 13 with like a really convoluted plot that you can't really cover in 13 episodes. It just doesn't work. So that didn't help. Obviously, the quality went down. And then you have the fall off of the next season. It's like, why am I going to watch season three now? Robert Nepper was in it. It was like, he was in Prison Break. I might give that a try. And then even then, the story was all...
Well, it's like, I'm sort of thinking like other shows like The Walking Dead. I mean, I watched two seasons of that. Thought the first season was really good.
Yeah.
Second season was all right. And then I'd had no interest in going back to it. And it's now on, what, season eight?
Something like that. I don't give a shit about it anymore.
Everybody that I know is just like, nah, it's they're just going.
Yeah.
It's much lower than it was, but still gets solid numbers in the States. But it is so that's why like it keeps going.
Flogging a dead horse.
The problem is that there's so much more quality TV on just now than that. I was just thinking of the actress and oh my god.
Daredevil?
No, the thing we were talking about a minute ago.
Oh, Handmaid's Tale.
Yeah, what's her name? She's been in this. Mm-hmm. She was in Mad Men, wasn't she?
Yep.
And she was in The West Wing.
Yep.
As one of the main characters in each of them.
Yeah.
So one of the main characters in three of the defining shows of each era.
Supporting character in West Wing. But
yeah, she was a supporting character, but she was... Yeah, that's true. But still a pretty main... You know, she wasn't like a minor supporting character.
I had a love interest
and all that.
Yeah. Charlie.
That's impressive going, though. That's really
Charlie.
Oh, The West Wing is so good. But yeah.
Can we do an episode where we're just doing the walk from The West Wing? Like just walking around the corridors, like, what can you do?
Walking and talking.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's. I just think 10 seasons is.
That's madness.
I can't see how you can push 10 seasons out of it.
No. It will get terrible. Three to five.
Without changing the tone of it completely.
Yeah.
I think it would have to go to, like, what happens after. Let's say what happens once things are restored, or if things are restored, you know. But then that's not the show anymore.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. And then what happens when you change writing teams? Because you're not always going to have the same writers on board or the same producers, directors. Everyone's going to change over time. So the
showrunners and all that.
Yeah, so the style will change as well. That could be something that's notable in different shows. You might disagree, I don't know.
No, I was just going to say very, very briefly, because we talked to us for a bit, the new Trek potentially coming?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yes. Lots of new Trek as well.
So there's talk of a cadet show, which has been in the works for ages.
Starfleet Academy, that would work. It could be good, and it would hit a teen demographic and all that kind of stuff, so yeah.
But there's also the talk of a new Jean-Luc Picard show.
True. Or him appearing in a show.
Yeah, but a lot, apparently. Like,
really?
Yeah, the chat is that he wouldn't just be there every so often. Like, he'd be like, I'm trying to think of, he'd kind of be like the captain in a cop show. You know what I mean? Who's there every episode or near enough.
I think
who directs
the
thing. He could be an admiral or something. You know what I mean?
We need to look at what happened
after
instead of constantly going back to...
Yeah.
To before.
After all the films, after Voyager, after DS9, we need to see that. The before stuff, I don't mind it, but I'm much more interested in what happens. Because it's about the future, for fuck's sake.
Yeah.
I want to know what happens after the stuff we've already seen.
Not back in the past of the future.
Yeah, why do I give a fuck about that? Like, Jesus. Anyway. I like Discovery.
It's kind of the same thing that they've got kind of got stuck on with bloody Star Wars at the moment, where it's that between the prequels and the original trilogy. It's all the stories that they keep coming up with. Boba Fett, Obi-Wan. Apparently all those films as well aren't, apparently they're still
in development.
That was in development's in development. It's just that they're like
they're not going to push it as quickly as they might have done.
Pushing any further development.
They've got one more film of this series, then they've got three films of another trilogy and three films of another trilogy. That's six films.
At least one TV show in the works as well. It's like,
wait,
that's crazy. I think that's a bit mad for Star Wars. Star Trek, I could have more.
Yeah. It's different though, yeah.
But to go back on like your point of like going back or you want to go forward. I kind of see it. Like, you want to bring in a new demographic, but you also want to keep, like, your fan base just kind of interested.
But that's why
But Episode 7 did that.
Yeah.
Episode 7 did that, where it brought in the new fans, but kept on.
Yeah. But I also imagine, like, that's carrot on the stick, is, like, trying to see what that connection is. I think if you go far too far forward, then you're kind of... it's almost like starting fresh and starting new.
No, but everybody...
Some may not appreciate that as much as you would maybe.
But the thing is that people can... all Next Gen Voyager and DS9 are all Netflix, and they're all constantly reshowing on Sky, on Sci-Fi, on whatever you have. So it's something where you could do it, and then you're also getting more value out of your older stuff as well.
Yeah, definitely, because it sells that.
Yeah,
you know, your new stuff sells the old content.
That's why I'm interested. I won't see Worf.
Show would be brilliant.
I won't see Worf like stuck between, because he'll be like, he's ambassador now to Kronos for the Federation. I won't see him stuck between like Picard and what's his name, General Thingy.
Yep,
Martok, who's now the Chancellor. I won't see all that, and I won't see.
Do you think you would see that?
I won't see him doing. I think you would. You would definitely bring these guys back in.
Yeah.
Maybe it would be like where they brought the older guys back in for Next Gen, and it just focused on like Scotty for one episode.
And
whoever else for one episode.
Would be back because he's got nothing else to do except direct Star Trek anyway. So he's in directing a couple of the new episodes of Discovery.
Yes.
Yeah.
And they were two of the best ones.
Yeah.
The ones with the Klingons.
And he's coming back to do more.
Yeah.
Yeah, which will be...
He knows Star Trek.
He does. He knows it inside out. Yeah. If there's one thing that man can direct, it's Star Trek. And be Riker.
Yeah. I just wish I'd get Ronald D. Moore involved. They should just give him a series.
He's too busy doing Outlander, isn't he?
And his new sci-fi series.
Oh, what is that again?
So nobody seems to know. The only lines about it so far is that it might be essentially imagining if the Cold War had never ended, is the idea.
And you've still got a space
sort of thing, and it's based in space.
Yeah, we're going deep Trek here, but Ronald D. Moore was one of the writers of Next Generation and
DS9.
And
Bits of Voyager, I think, as well, maybe.
As well, yeah. And then he also did Battlestar and...
Carnival.
Yeah, writer, producer. He's working on Outlander at the moment, which has been pretty solid as well.
That was the only aspect of Star Trek I couldn't really get into, was Deep Space Nine, for whatever reason.
Basically, as soon as Worf comes into it, it gets amazing.
Yeah. Does it? Oh, really?
The war.
Yeah, but as soon as the war starts with Dominion, it's great.
It's brilliant.
But it's all that build-up to it. It takes
the first. The first two episodes were like, it's like we're doing a show about an airport.
Was it?
Kind of was.
It kind of was, but then after that, it starts to get better.
It starts getting really good, and all the stuff with Odo and his... people as well, and
so good.
It's really well rounded off, though. Deep Space Nine.
Yeah,
I quite enjoy how they rounded that off,
and
then kept everything off with Voyager on the back of that.
Yeah, I think it's probably time we bring that to an end because we're running long and we've just been blethering shit.
Oh no, sorry guys.
Nah, it's fine. It's cool. There's no no Fight Club or no Desert Island Dicks this week because we couldn't be dicked and we just had other things to talk about.
Yeah.
Yeah. It really brings us probably to that time of the evening. Actually, before I do anything, a few things to say. T-shirts. Buy our T-shirts.
Oh, yeah. And duffel bags. Buy duffel bags. That blew my mind when we saw that in the store. It's like, holy shit. We said duffel bags.
We've got a T-shirt shop up. We talked about it last time. And basically we've got T-shirts there. If you fancy some of our designs, I'm going to be putting some more up.
Hoodies. Also, you can have it on pretty much anything you want.
Yeah.
A hat.
Condom.
Can you imagine?
I don't know if...
It's a great design of the... Well, we have a Five Club one.
Yeah.
But we also have a Honey Badger one.
A Honey Badger on a condom. That's the way to go.
Can you imagine wearing a Honey Badger condom? It says, be ready to tear into her at any moment.
Oh, mate.
That's a bad...
That was awful.
I had to get it out, though. That was one of those where it's like, I can't just keep quiet on that one.
You're more disgusting in my toe.
You really should have kept quiet on that one.
Yeah, I should have. I'm really sorry. I'm really sorry.
That was awful.
Yeah. Yeah,
okay, well,
that's coming from me.
That's
James.
Another mark. That's another mark on my sexual misconduct.
But yeah, check it out. It's on the website, www.fifeclub.co.uk. It's under shop and it's there. Also, if you want to peruse the website, it's slowly getting updated and it will be, we're hoping to have like a wiki eventually of all of our references and nonsense. So that way, if you're new to the show, you can go and have a flip back and check out some of the things that we regularly bring up that maybe you don't quite get.
It may interest you. It may horrify you also.
Yeah. Gordon the Gopher. Poor thing.
Oh, this though.
But yeah, so there's that.
By the way, when you mentioned that, have you seen that advert with Philip Schofield with the kitten?
Yeah.
I felt so worried.
I don't like
those
adverts.
Yeah. Who actually likes Philip Schofield? No one,
yeah.
It's a weird choice for, yeah.
Gordon the Gopher.
Because everybody knows.
Yeah.
Everybody knows.
Everybody knows. The truth about Scoff. Allegedly.
No, allegedly needed.
Nothing said.
Yeah. These days we're going to get chucked on this morning and called out on it. So, what did you say about me and Gordon the Gopher?
They get a lot of stories where it's like on Digital Spy. Oh, Philip Schofield couldn't believe what this person was saying, and it's just his face going, ooh. It's like, that's not a story.
Yeah.
Although, if that being said, if you had him listen to our podcast, his face would melt.
Like, yeah.
What do you call it? Indiana Jones film.
Oh, yeah.
The Nazi. Pages of the Lost Ark moment.
Yeah.
That'd be like that.
Fair dues. Well, what else? There was something else I was going to tell you guys, but I can't remember.
Oh, Arena Fighter hinting at doing another night in November.
Mm-hmm. October.
October.
I saw November on Facebook.
Oh, maybe I've changed it.
Oh, well.
Yeah, they said, like, keep, I think it was like a 7th and the 9th of November. It was like a Saturday night to keep that for your, keep that in your calendars. And they were asking for fighters for that. So
yeah, that would be good. And we'll maybe see if we can rock along to that one as well. Mm. And noise up some people as a wee follow up as well. It'd be good. But yeah, other than that, it does bring me to that time of the podcast where I have to ask James, what is the motto this week?
Don't stick your toe in the ground when you're trying to tackle someone.
I don't even know what that means. Yeah, good night.
Good night.